Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Ken Seymour, Richard Geiger. I tell you what, I've got my Pip-Boy. I think the rads are low enough to peek our heads out. Are you ready?
I'm ready for an explosive episode.
Obviously, we'll be talking about the new Fallout television series, courtesy of online streaming through the same place that you get your jelly beans and your socks sent to you. Amazon.
Amazon, yes.
That was actually one of my favorite bits of the advertising. You know, from the game studio that brought you whatever and from the company that sells you stuff online.
It's a match made in heaven because, you know, the games, you get all those random things collected as well.
Yeah, you definitely do. I feel like we're in a slightly better position with the stuff that we collect, but that's a discussion for another episode, I think.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so just released. It's been out, what, a week as of this recording?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Was it the 11th?
Yeah, something 12th. Like that. I feel like that we were on the cutting edge.
Getting to it.
You know, I don't know about you folks, but I am often, let us say, saddled with additional viewers that whenever I start to watch something, I then am required to slow down to be able to watch the rest of it with the other people, which normally doesn't bother me. You know, it's one of those things. You get more enjoyment. You enjoy it with the other people, and it's good.
Well, so I'm in the same position. It just so happens that this particular one, there's a couple scenarios that are different for this one, right?
Right.
Your conglomerate of people that want to watch this, some played the game, some did not, but were all interested in the world surrounding this.
Right.
And when we review TV shows or things like this, a lot of times we'll do a couple of episodes, and those episodes come out maybe a few up front, but mostly are weekly. And one of the amazing things about this one is they came out all at the same time. So you could sit and binge them all eight, just straight, no chaser. Yeah, as I was gonna say.
That made me very happy. I don't like waiting for these kinds of things. But at the same time, I was just like, my situation is some people that I knew, just it was the day that it came out, they saw it all.
Yes, watched all eight of them. I tried to do it in bits, but the problem is when you have the opportunity to do it in bits and you're like, I'm just gonna watch one, and then the first one is so good, you're like, I want more, and then
right.
you can't stop. And the fact that there were only eight episodes was it's like this whole series was just a teaser in a certain sense. Want more?
Well, I think it was the right kind of teaser from everything that I've been reading in reports online. The amount of people playing the Fallout games has tripled.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So that's an important discussion for us to have as well, because as we have more invested in this show because
definitely.
We played the games. Now, I played more of them than you have.
You have indeed.
Sense. So the investment level is a bit deeper, I think, for us compared to some other people. But the other thing, too, for me... I think for us, these games, the Fallout games and their similar types of games, so the Fallout games and now you have Starfield, all for the most part from the same studio, are really like, that is our wheelhouse when it comes to the types of games that we like to play.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Fallout 4, for example... we both have all the downloadable content. We've played through multiple playthroughs, doing multiple things, doing multiple builds, different difficulties, exploring every aspect of everything.
Downloading mods to make it even more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can go back to 3 because 3 I had all the DLC played through multiple times. People think that Vegas is the best of the series, and cool. Okay, whatever. They're all good. Same thing. I've got all the DLC. I've played through it multiple times, and that's one of the things about these games is the world that you're in kind of is engrossing. It pulls you in. It pulls you in with the story. You can take the story in different directions. You have different choices. Your playthroughs aren't necessarily the same each time you do it. And I think for the fans of the game, it pulls you into the world even more so.
I would agree with that. And there, you know, going into this, I normally don't allow myself to hold out a whole lot of hope whenever there's an adaptation of anything. I want to have my expectations be low. That way, if it's awful, I'm not too disappointed. And if it's good, well, you know, awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Because so often these adaptations are just not good.
Well, I'll go on 2 points for what you just said. One, when the trailer came out a month or two ago, you looked at it and you're like, eh. Like, you could tell the expectations were already set low. And then you're right with some of these other game things that have come out recently. The Halo show is a good example of just, it's not good. And then the Last of Us, which is on HBO, is great, but it's like a direct adaptation of the game. And this is not.
As they started, I mean, the very first release, I had that initial kind of whatever reaction, but they did a good job of maintaining engagement well before things released. They had several previews. They had a bunch of other little teasers and things. And as they started releasing the stuff, it became apparent that they were invested in this, not just like monetarily, but the people that were in charge understood the assignment. They knew what they needed to do, and they knew they had a unique opportunity, because unlike a lot of other games where you're making essentially the original story into your story that you're portraying on the screen, you don't have to do that. The way they put Fallout together, you don't have to try and adapt any of that stuff. Just let the games lie and tell a new story. And when I realized, like, oh, this is the direction they're going, it's like, great. That means that they'll be allowed to be as creative as they want to be while still staying within the created world that we've all been enjoying for 30 years now.
And if you read resources online, they'll give you the storyline, like the time frame where Fallout 76 is technically the first thing that's occurred, and then 1, 2, 3, Vegas, 4, and now the show. So the show is set in a world that is already existing, with already existing things that have happened in the previous 100, 200 years in cities where things have already happened, where you have established factions already set up from the previous games. So they didn't take it from Vault 111 and just like, let's redo what Vault 111 would look like in real life. No, they took all those things that had already had a world built and they just moved it to a different part of the country.
Yeah.
That's all.
The aesthetics that needed to be shared were shared. And the ones that they could kind of put their own little spin on, they did. And it works, because as long as you understand the overarching concept and aesthetic to the game, you can have your own little twists and pieces and still make it great. So I figured that we would tackle this particular series. First of all, obviously, kind of a no-spoiler reaction. If you can't tell, it's kind of silly, but a little no-spoiler reaction. Should you watch this? How quickly should you watch this? Who should you watch this with? And then we're not going to do as deep of a dissection as we do on our individual movie reviews that we do. We're not going to go through all the specific categories necessarily, though we'll touch on a bunch of those things. But we'll highlight what we think needs to be highlighted and celebrate the wins and lament any losses there might be.
Very few.
Right.
When it comes to this, we may divulge a spoiler or two, right? It's just kind of the nature of discussion for the whole thing. But I guess we'll try to keep it clean. I mean, I don't know.
We'll keep it minimal. But, I mean, after our initial review here, fair warning.
Yes.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
So, obviously, we both liked it.
Yes.
I was extremely impressed. I think this is not just something that the fans of the games will love. I think it's something that people that have no idea about Fallout will just wonderfully enjoy, provided you are okay with fairly graphic violence, so long as you are okay with tonal shifts. I mean, go into it with the understanding that this does not keep a consistent tone throughout the show, because the games never did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to give you everything. It's going to give you some of the more dramatic elements. It's going to give you the comedy. It's going to give you the action. It's going to give you everything that keeps the games engaging in the first place. It's the same thing that works with the show. But if you don't like a mushmouth of different genres all going together, then you may not enjoy this as much.
I will say, if you have no idea of the Fallout world, it's still like it's an A series, right?
Yeah.
If you know the Fallout world, this is an S+. It's an elite tier show. And if you have never watched or never played Fallout and you watch this, it might be worth it to watch it with someone who has experienced Fallout to
explain things,
or like if you're watching this and you're like, there's some absurdity in some of the things that the person who has played the game, like, well, that's kind of grounded in how the game works. There's a reason why those things are as absurd as what they are.
Yeah. So the big thing that we get out of this is, yes, it's enjoyable. And, you know, like you said, it's S tier if you are a fan of the game. But I would almost go so far as to say that this is maybe the best game adaptation I've seen.
The thing about this is, if you compare it to The Last of Us, which is...
I can't. I have not seen that one.
I have not played the game, but I have seen the show. And the show is excellent. It's great. I don't know how it compares to the game, but once again, we mentioned that's like a straight translation of the game. And from what I've read, there are many liberties taken within that. And when it comes to this one and why we think this is the best, is the liberties that were taken were based on the game itself. Right?
Natural extensions.
Extensions of things that have already occurred in the game. And it's done so well that each episode has Easter eggs built into it. But the references that, if you are a gamer who played this game, the references that you would understand and do the point your finger at the TV and laugh, or point your, like, or like, yes, that's exactly how it, like, it is uncanny how well the people understood the source material and put it on the screen.
Yeah. So to start with, we've got, so we've got a group of people that understand in the production side of things, what they need to do, and they hire directors. And these directors are not newbies.
Well, when you do a series, it's often that you will get maybe a different director for each episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not uncommon. And what you end up with this is a collection that some did a few, right? But you're right. You got people who are experienced in the high production 8-episode, 10-episode shows that are, you know, like those fun, like,
oh yeah,
high-end shows.
Oh yeah. So we're not going to go through all 5 listed directors, because they all have experience. They've all done some really good stuff. But I will say, if you are a Christopher Nolan fan, well, introduction to his brother. as one of the directors.
You got it. And I thought I read somewhere, too, that Christopher Nolan has watched this series, of course, and just as he digs it. So,
yeah, and it's just, that's a good thing. That's some pretty fun stuff. Now, going from that, I mean, nobody ever really thinks about the director, not the people that normally watch the shows. But you will think about the actor choices. The casting is super important. So do you just get a bunch of people that nobody knows? And, you know, all new people? Do you get some big names? Do you get a combination of both? What's the way to go?
Well, in this one, I think you got some big names to us, right? But in terms of the quote industry, did you get the big names?
Kind of,
but maybe not. But I'm telling you, man, the cast is
it was excellent.
Yeah. Very good.
Ella Purnell, I wasn't real familiar with, but you know, anytime you get somebody that is not from the United States doing an American accent, I'm automatically like, oh no, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. Nope.
No.
Dead on.
Very good.
Yeah. So I'm dead on to the point that, like I said, I was not really familiar with Miss Purnell before, and I didn't know she was English until after the fact. It's like that's good. That's really good.
Very good. And she plays this in this. In this show, her character has been obviously in the vault her whole life, and she plays the innocent, ignorant, happy-go-lucky, if you will. Always has like the high spirits, like the can-do attitude.
Somewhat clueless.
Yes. Yeah, but like it, when you play the game and you set up a character, you set up a character with all these different traits. They described it in the episode when she was going over all the skills that she has accumulated. So if the intelligence is not a 10, but it's not a 1, well, maybe the charisma is higher, or, you know, the endurance is higher. It's they played the character perfect. They developed it very good. Very good.
Absolutely. She definitely took the role by the horns and did what she needed to do to make it right. Got Aaron Moten that did the Brotherhood of Steel character, Maximus. Again, not really familiar with this gentleman's work before this point. At first, I didn't know what to think of him because, you know, this is one of the things that I thought was maybe a little weaker point. A lot of times when the camera was directly on him, he looked like he didn't have a freaking clue. He looked dumb. I mean, like, dumb. And then I had to think about it. So it's just like, wait, he is dumb.
Yeah.
he's acting exactly the way that he's supposed to. And then he gets to, you know, after a couple of episodes, he gets to really get some range. And it's like, oh, okay, you got to develop it and it's fine. It's like, okay, now we're good. I get it now.
The confidence in the character escalates throughout the episodes.
Right, right. And then finally, I think where it really, really, it's like, okay, yeah, I like this guy in this role is once you get to episode 6, I think, where they're in Vault 4 and he's experiencing luxury, in quotes, for the first time. Like he's never had before. And just the sheer joy that has to be filtered through his life experience that we have to see in his face. It's like, oh God, actually, this guy's really good. You know, it's like, okay, he has 100% convinced me. So I love that. And of course, the great Walton Goggins.
Amazing.
I love this guy. He has never disappointed me in any. Well, okay. I can't say he's never disappointed me in any role. I mean, maybe Ant-Man and the Wasp, but that wasn't his fault. That role was just kind of minuscule, very interesting.
He was fine, though.
Yeah, but he was fine. But Justified, you know, man.
I've not seen Justified, and all I've ever heard was like he made that show.
Ooh.
Like, besides the fact that, you know, the you got an excellent lead in that. But
yes,
he plays off the lead very well.
Yeah, no, that, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff over the years, and it's just been great in all of that. So it's just, I was, once I heard that name, it's like, okay, you know, I'm really excited for the show now, because if they can get him into this, and if they do it right, it's like, I can see this being just amazing. I mean, just, wow, this guy's been in freaking everything.
Oh, yeah.
All the way back to 1990.
And he has been in some Westerns, so he's got the experience of playing the cowboy.
Right.
Right. But he's done comedy, he's done silly, he's done serious, a little bit of everything. He's done, you know, like serial killer stuff. He was in the Predators movie, right? He's done a little bit of everything. And of course, more recently, he's been in some HBO shows that are just amazing. So he in this one, if you listen to him talk in Righteous Gemstones, it's almost like he's got like something in his mouth, and that's part of his speech pattern that he's got.
Yes, yes.
But then when you listen to him do interviews, it's not there.
No.
It's not there at all.
It's an affectation.
It's totally a thing for the character. And it's his character in this is, you know, like, he's as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Well,
you know?
Do you see what he does? Not that he's got something in his mouth. He stiffens his jaw when he's talking. That's mm-hmm. From what I can tell, that's how he does it. So, you know, I'm looking at you right now, and I'm going to do as little as possible. Just mm-hmm. to show you how much effort I'm willing to put into this, that kind of a thing. It's like, mm-hmm. So yeah. We got Moises Arias, similar to Mr. Moten. I wasn't sure what I thought about him at first, but again, as the series went on, he won me over. I think about episode 2 or 3. It didn't take too long. It's like, okay, yeah, he's good too.
Yeah, very good.
So I've been impressed with that. You of course get the amazing Leslie Uggams, who is in the Deadpool films, if you're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But of course has been in just tons of other stuff over the years. You know, I mean, she was back in 1977. She was in Roots. I mean, you know, a lot of us had to see that in school as kind of part of the educational process.
Yeah, and of course,
pretty lucky on that one.
You know, the young pups that are playing Fallout now for the first time and all those things, they'd be more familiar with her from her blind owl role in the Deadpool movies.
Right.
But she's been, I mean, she was obviously a well-established actress for a long time.
Yeah, she has a long run on Empire. That's kind of nice. But yeah, so I really like her. She is also one of my first missteps in one of our episodes, because she reminds me so much of Nerys Nichols.
Mm, yeah.
So when we were talking about Deadpool, I think the first time, and I'm thinking her, and I'm actually thinking her name, but I think I might have said Nichelle Nichols when we were recording the original episode. Like, how did that come out? And I know it's partially the facial structure, partially the hair, but I love both of them so much, it's kind of hard not to kind of have that watch over. So I still giggle to myself a little bit about that every time I think about it. It's like, yeah, she's ingrained in my favorite places in my brain.
Great at communicating.
Yeah. Zach Cherry has been in actually a number of shows now. Mm-hmm. He usually gets kind of a secondary role, but however, in this, he also gets a secondary role, but he does a good job with it.
More screen time, right?
More screen time. I'm trying to think what it is that I want to say about him, and I think the easiest thing, he's not one that had to convince me of anything.
Mm-mm.
Every time I see him, I just go, I want to hug this guy. Just, he's so friendly seeming, and it's like, this is like a guy I would hang out with and play games and do whatever, and just, you know, just seems that kind of guy, no matter what role they put him in.
And of course, he had that same kind of vault dweller attitude and, you know, upstep in his feeling and attitude towards other people throughout the show, too.
Yeah, one of my favorite bits in maybe the whole show is where he's been assigned to 32 and he knows, I don't want to go to 32. I don't want to go to 32. He's like, nope, I live here. I live here. I'm going up.
Yep. He turned around and then like the people are there blocking the doors with the armor and stuff on. Armor looked great. And then he turns right back around.
Oh, man, that was so good. Dave Register. And we could kind of go through this whole list of people that you may or may not be familiar with, and they just did great. He did a good job. Annabelle O'Hagan, she's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It's like scary Karen vibes the entire time. Like if Kill Bill were not about the good guy. Kind of thing.
Yes, like there's going to be more from her in season two,
you know it. 100%. She made too much of an impact in this to not. Rodrigo did okay. I think he got outshone just a little bit by everybody else. He didn't do bad by any stretch, but everybody else was so good.
So good him. Yep.
So even though he was still good while everybody else was being really good, they kind of showed him up on accident. Lear Leary, which, by the way, if you're going to have an acting name.
Lear Leary?
Lear Leary, man. That's excellent. He's actually been in quite a bit of stuff, surprisingly. Never big roles or anything, but you'll recognize him if you've seen him before.
Well, he's always like the side, you know, policeman, detective, right? More right. Serious. And this, he was very lighthearted and innocent. And it's just a different look than what you're used to seeing him in.
I voted for her. he had a couple good lines in there. Sarita Chowdhury.
Yes, I like it.
I'm really not familiar with her, and I don't care. She has some stage presence.
And you just kind of saw her in passing early on.
Oh, that's where I knew her from, Lady in the Water. Gah, that was bothering me. I'm trying to figure out, what's the thing that I remember her from?
A movie that no one saw.
I saw that film, and it was good. I mean, yeah, it had a twist. But it was
somebody had to see it, right?
It was a good twist. She's been in a ton of stuff.
Lots of TV, yeah. Lots of TV screen time, let's call it.
Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, I mean, we haven't even touched even close to everybody.
We're missing one.
Are we? Are we missing one of your favorites?
Well, we're missing one of those star power ones, right?
Well, you go ahead. You take this because I know I've been waiting. I was going to see how long. I was going to say, actually, the goal is I'm going to do 20 people and completely ignore
him. Just ignore him. That's okay. So we see Kyle MacLachlan in this. Not for the whole thing, right?
No.
You see him at the beginning and you see him at the end.
Yep.
And we're going to see him a lot more. In theory, we're going to see him a lot more. The whole premise of the show is actually very similar to an extent of Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
The at least the storyline and why she's leaving the vault. Got to go find Dad.
Yep.
This is Dad, right? Very positive, very, very leadership oriented. Comes through with the save, with the kill save during the invasion. But then he's gone. And it's the search, but then at the end, everything is not what it seems. Which is, it's perfect. But you get the thing about the story in general is that you get more details as the episodes go on, which you should in any show.
Right.
But they do it with nice usage of those flashbacks.
Yeah. And truthfully, Michael Emerson's also a big name that's in this, albeit in very little. So, I mean, if you didn't see him in Lost or Saw.
Saw, yes. I'm familiar with him in Saw, but I never watched Lost. So.
Well, I mean, he's been in a lot more than that. But he
had a rough in this.
Yeah, he did. He had a hard time getting ahead. Where's the
high?
Yeah, right. but
yeah, sometimes you just got to go one foot in front of the other.
That's right. All right. So, yeah, without really going any further, I mean, the entire group is just so well cast. And I have to say, some of the choices I probably wouldn't made, but I'm glad I wasn't in charge because they were the exact right choices.
Yeah. Yeah, the cast would definitely get an A in this. And the fact that their portrayals of their characters were very good. Everything was very believable from the standpoint of how you had to present this character in these unique situations throughout the show.
All right, so now we've talked a little bit, and we haven't really given any true major spoilers. We're going to talk a little bit about the storyline now. And so this is like your last chance. If you haven't seen it, get out before we give anything major away. But I was, like I said, I was concerned at first, and then I saw they could kind of do whatever they want. The story is really solid. I mean, they split it between they do what a lot of shows do now, where they have multiple kind of protagonists in quotes. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of follow more than one set of people around and how they intersect with each other. And are they the good guys? Are they the bad guys? This show does a really good job, I think, in terms of the plot of making complex characters that you're supposed to want to succeed, but you don't necessarily like.
Yeah, or ones that you think are going to succeed, and maybe they don't.
Right.
And the storyline is about a vault dweller, but that's how all the storylines are.
Yes.
And then from the beginning to the end, it's still about the vault dweller, right? That's
ultimately.
That's the thing about the story. Like, there's a MacGuffin, right?
Yes.
That is part of it, but really the story devolves, you know, away from that. It's
a MacGuffin, but only in the sense that it's the item that everybody wants, but the story isn't about the item.
It's not about the item, correct.
So that gives a certain amount of freedom and flexibility and allows for just some character development of an extreme amount. I mean, what other show are you, with the amount of changes these characters went through in 8 episodes, just a staggering amount of character development and change.
Well, the most, of course, is going to be you learn the most about the ghoul.
Yeah.
Right? You learned about pre-war, and then you learned more about pre-war than really anything else. But you saw that character was, you know, rough and tumble from the beginning and was still that at the end, but you kind of figured out a lot more about the character. And I don't know about motivations, though. Like, there's always a motivation, but ultimately what you thought the motivation was he was a bounty hunter, right? Like caps.
No, I knew there was a 0% chance from the early get-go.
Yeah, but it's presented to you like that,
yeah,
right?
Well, they want to present it to you. The way that they package it is like, oh, this is the way he used to be. This is the way he is now, and it's just because. No, it's never just because. Mm-hmm. It is 0% chance just because. And looking at what was important to him at that point and the way he's behaving now, no, this is like Taken vibes. Like, this is, he's hunting someone very specific for a very specific reason. And we don't know what it is exactly, but I had my suspicions, which were confirmed.
and his, obviously he's been around the entire time, so he's got a little bit more knowledge, he's got a little bit more attitude, and like even the little one-liners that he delivers are great character things. They're great game things.
Oh yeah.
I love it when he's like, I'm you, just give it time. Right. You know,
yeah.
Like, and then his line about him always trying to do one thing, but then something that takes him off into a different direction.
That was so good.
Those were two, I saw that. I was like, oh my, like they get it. Like this is,
He's played the game.
He is playing the game. It's so good.
All right. So my main quest, I'm going this, darn it. I don't want to talk to this NPC.
Yes. And I know the main character is, you know, the Lucy character. And I get that. But is Lucy, and Lucy is the main, they're all main characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, that she's one of three. There are three main characters. There's the main character you're supposed to relate to. There's the main character that you're supposed to empathize with. And there's the main character that you're supposed to root for. Those are the three roles that they take.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play a game with you where they flip it
mm-hmm.
in the middle. And they change what role each of them plays. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Whoever did the writing for this, both from a dialogue standpoint and a storyboard standpoint, I mean, they get it. I oftentimes wonder on these shows because they'll give you a budget for the show and they'll say
$185 million.
Yeah. And that's amazing for this to deliver eight episodes. But if they, you know, when they did the Lord of the Rings movies, how they filmed them all at the same time.
Right.
I wish they could do something like that for these.
For multiple seasons.
They do multiple seasons. That way the people stay in character. The attitudes all stay the same. The story relation stays the same.
What if they did?
We just don't know it.
And we just don't know it. So I didn't think to do this. It's another of those instances. I always think about it when I see it, and then I get caught up with watching the rest of the story, and then I forget. There's a very interesting phone number that pops up where you can register with Vault-Tec in the show.
It's something happening later this year.
Right. What if they did two seasons, and the date that they're giving is when they'll drop the second season?
That would be amazing.
Because they left a lot of questions. There are things that could potentially be plot holes if they just left them as is. But I don't really think they're plot holes. They're just things that haven't been explained yet.
Open endings,
yeah. So I wonder if that's what it is. I'm kind of hoping that's what it is, because apparently if you call the number, all you get when you call is screaming.
Screams, yep.
It's like, oh, that's a little rough. But if you text it, that's where you get the goodies.
You get an invitation to register. And, you know, we've talked about this before our discussion tonight. We focused on the characters and the actors, actresses. We've now talked about the story, although briefly. One of the things that's so spot on is all the other stuff. So like the costume and props and the music, right?
Oh, man, so good.
So good.
They used the original songs from the games and the songs that were licensed for the games.
And the sound effects. So if you played Halo.
Oh, yeah.
So the battle rifle has a sound.
Yes.
Right? The needler has a sound.
Yes.
They didn't put those sounds in the Halo TV show.
No?
No.
What?
Why wouldn't you do that, right?
Like, okay.
Why wouldn't you do that? And in this, when they turned on the light on the Pip-Boy, it was the same sound.
It was beautiful.
When they showed them looking at the Pip-Boy, but turning the knobs, going through the menus, it was the same clicking sounds. Like
the opening and the closing of the internal doors within the vault all the same.
It's all the same.
Every single bit of it.
All the sound effects that you got out of this, 98% of them were the exact ones that you would get in the game.
Right.
There's a lot of weapons throughout the course of the game, but we didn't see a lot of them in here.
We
right?
saw maybe about 10.
The things like the laser rifles, the plasma guns, those have distinct sounds.
Right.
I imagine we're going to hear those sounds
when
those weapons are presented. It's just that all the things that we saw were so authentic to the game. You didn't need to take liberties. Just like do it how it is in the game.
And that's what they did. That all of the locations, they looked the way that they were supposed to. The Red Rocket truck stop looks like the Red Rocket truck stop. The Super Duper Mart looks like the Super Duper Mart.
Yes.
I mean, it's all there. The individual packaging for all of the different fake foods that you run across. The freaking deviled eggs.
The yum-yum deviled eggs.
Yum-yum deviled eggs. It's like, that is crazy. Not only do they do packaging, they have her eating it while she's at a thing.
Yes.
It's like, come on.
The containers of cram. she had a canister of water. That bottle of purified water, that's what it looks like in the games.
Yeah, the stim pack looks like a stim pack.
They had a lunchbox, a Nuka-Cola lunchbox hiding in the background. The magazines, we talked about the magazines.
Yeah, the bobbleheads, the posters.
All of it. Just even the Nuka-Cola stuff.
My jaw hit the floor. And having Fred Armisen come in for the completely god-awful radio station, because there's always a god-awful radio station in every Fallout, and it's bad in a different way in all of them.
Mm-hmm. And you can, in 4, you can actually go to a radio station. It's close to a police?
No.
A bigger police station? It's like across the way from it?
It's across the river, so it's kind of on its own. If you wander a little too far to the west of that, you start getting into irradiated territory south and west of that, so you got to be real careful. But yeah,
I played once again. I played the 3 in Vegas, and you could tune just like you can in 4. You could turn to different radio stations.
Yep.
And those songs are just like ingrained in my head, because you would play for hours and hours,
right,
and you know, those songs would come in and just play. And like, that was your soundtrack to these games were those songs produced in, you know, like the 40s and 50s.
Yep.
That was what you played to. So if you're playing Starfield now, you get a completely unique set of
songs
that like adjust to the mood, good in its own way for that attitude.
Yep.
But the Fallout ones, I can't describe it, just because once you listen to it, it's the jams. It's
crawl out through the fallout, baby.
Oh, it's so good. Like, some of them are just real mellow, and some of them have a faster tempo to them.
So good.
It's very good.
In fact, you know, when I was talking about the mods that I would add to the game, the most important mods, like, how can I add more of this music, this style of music? Because that was the only thing. It's like, you know, they had like 10 songs, but after a while, I'd like a few more, but I want it to be period specific. And so there were a couple. It's like, yeah, here's a bunch of other songs that are from that same genre and feel, and it's like, it's great. So yeah, I mean, the costuming was great. The CGI where it was used was generally excellent.
Yeah, you had one issue.
I had one issue: the de-aging that they did on your favorite actor's character,
John McClane.
Something like that. But he looked awful. It was like removing Superman's mustache CGI bad. And you know, if that's my one gripe, because it's in a single, it's in a single scene in the last like episode, and it's for just a few seconds. Okay,
we'll take it.
I'll take it.
You know, the what am I thinking here? The nose that you saw on the ghoul character was there all throughout, right?
Yeah, it looks pretty solid.
That looked good. The vertebrates, I bet the vertebrates, a lot of those were CGI. Half practical, half CGI. Those look sharp.
Yeah.
When the bomb dropped, that looked sharp.
Yeah.
The gulper looked very good.
Yeah, that was actually really impressive. The rad roaches looked good.
Yeah, yes. The CGI, so it was very, very sharp all the way around. I'll go back to it. I hate relating to it because we're comparing game stuff here. The Halo CGI, very weak. Very weak. There was in season two, I think I explained this. So they do practical effects, and what they would do is when they're firing weapons, they would put an LED light on the end and to indicate that they were firing weapons, and then they'd go back into the post-production and change those to, like, you know, the stuff coming out of the barrel. And it looked so just, it looked like the video game stuff was way better. It looked so bad, but it was so poorly edited. There were scenes where they forgot to actually put the barrel splash on it and just had the flashlight. I think this is very bad. Like, yeah. Just, there's no effort. There's no attitude. There's nothing. For one of the best game franchises that you could possibly do, there was no effort put into it. And there was ultimate effort put into this.
Yeah, so much care that went into this. And, you know, certain things. And it allowed for a really fun viewing experience with me that had played the games and knew what was going on and watching with those that did not. And they would ask questions, you know, when a couple of the vault dwellers went into the dark section when they're going over the 32. It's like, why didn't they bring a flashlight? And I'm going, they did. They have their Pip Boys.
Mm-hmm.
It's built into the Pip Boy. It just bong on it. When it's like, yeah. It's just like, why are you cheering for that? Because it looks right.
It looks right, and it sounded right. Yeah, like you. Maybe we're more enthusiastic, and we mentioned this earlier. Like this, these games are. For me, they are my favorite.
Yeah, same here.
They're just my favorite. And to see the world come to life with so many things that I've spent so many hundreds of hours playing and going through to just be produced in a very accurate and painstaking way. It was so gratifying to see.
The skylines, like we were looking at a little bit of, just everything from the you know, Fallout Wasteland. I mean, that CGI, and it was gorgeous.
Looked great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just so excellent. And you know, I just keep thinking of more and more that's comes back to me that they added, you know, watching him play his Pip-Boy with the video games that you can find in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or the little mini game when he has to break into the Overseer's computer to hack them. It's like that's the same mini game from Fallout 4.
It's the same thing. The same thing.
It's just so good. Oh, man. And I don't have enough. I don't think I have enough good things to say about this. I mean, just all in all, it's just stunning. There's no other word for it. How much care was put into this? They clearly wanted it to resonate. It's just amazing.
Hey, like, bravo, bravo, team, bravo.
Yeah. So, that's our general thoughts on the show. We'd love to hear what you think. Did you get the same joy out of it? Did you have any problems that we missed or that you thought were problems? You know, we're always available on any of our social media accounts. If anybody's out there, you know how to get a hold of us at Real Pudding Guys on Twitter.
did you download 3, 4 in Vegas and start playing it again?
Not yet. I haven't had the time, but it's coming.
Yeah.
The replay is definitely coming. Just tell us what you think, because I'm going to be kind of obsessed. I think I'm going to watch this through again here before too terribly long, just because of how good it was.
So good.